Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Nartrees Podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book, Understanding Girls with ADHD, How They Feel, and Why They Do. What They Do is a nonfiction guide written by Kathleen Nadeau, Patricia Quinn, and Ellen Littman for parents, educators, clinicians, and readers who want a clearer picture of attention deficit hyperactivity disorder in girls, rather than treating ADHD as a uniform condition. The book focuses on how it often appears differently in girls than in boys, with more inattentiveness, emotional strain, internalized distress, and social difficulty than obvious classroom disruption. Its purpose is both explanatory and practical. It helps readers recognize why many girls are overlooked, mislabeled, or diagnosed late, and it offers a framework for understanding the developmental, social, and emotional pressures that shape their experiences, as a revised edition of an earlier influential work. It reflects the growing recognition that girls and women with ADHD need assessment and support methods tailored to their actual presentation. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, why ADHD in girls is often hidden behind quiet, internalized symptoms. One of the book's central contributions is its explanation of why ADHD in girls is so often missed. The authors show that the common stereotype of ADHD as loud, disruptive, and hyperactive fits many boys more readily than girls. Girls are more likely to appear dreamy, disorganized, inconsistent, anxious, or emotionally overwhelmed, which means their struggles can be mistaken for shyness, immaturity, laziness, or poor effort. This matters because the absence of visible disruption does not mean the absence of impairment. The book argues that many girls work hard to compensate, masking their difficulties until academic demands, social expectations, or emotional stress become too large to manage. By reframing these quiet behaviors as possible signs of ADHD, the book challenges narrow diagnostic habits and helps readers understand why so many girls receive help only after years of confusion. The emphasis is not merely on symptom recognition, but on how social invisibility contributes to delayed diagnosis and accumulated damage to confidence, performance, and well-being. Secondly, emotional dysregulation and rejection sensitivity as major parts of the female ADHD experience. The book places strong emphasis on the emotional side of ADHD, which is often underplayed in simplified descriptions of the disorder. Girls with ADHD may struggle not only with attention and organization, but also with intense feelings, rapid frustration, low frustration tolerance, shame, and a heightened sensitivity to criticism or exclusion. The authors connect these emotional patterns to the daily pressure of trying to meet expectations that are often harder for girls to escape, especially expectations of being calm, cooperative, and socially polished. This is important because emotional instability is frequently interpreted as a separate mood problem rather than part of ADHD itself. The book's approach helps readers see how chronic self-monitoring, repeated failure experiences, and social rejection can produce a cycle of anxiety and low self-esteem. That cycle can then worsen school performance and relationships, making the original attentional difficulties even harder to detect. By giving emotional dysregulation a central place in the discussion, the book broadens the understanding of ADHD beyond behavior management and into the area of lived experience. Thirdly, puberty, hormones, and the developmental turning points that change symptom visibility. Another major theme is the way development, especially puberty, can affect when and how ADHD becomes more noticeable in girls. The book explains that hormonal changes may intensify attention problems, mood shifts, restlessness, and mental fog, which can make adolescence a common point of first recognition. This developmental perspective is important because many girls appear to cope reasonably well in earlier childhood, only to struggle more when academic demands increase and social expectations become more complex. The authors therefore treat ADHD as a condition that unfolds across time, not a static childhood label. The revised edition also reflects more recent awareness that symptoms may change across later life stages as well, reinforcing the idea that girls and women need age-sensitive understanding rather than a one-size-fits-all model. This section of the book is valuable because it explains why diagnosis may come later in girls, even when the underlying condition has been present for years. It also helps parents and professionals recognize transitions as risk periods when support may become urgently necessary. Fourthly, social masking, people-pleasing, and the hidden cost of trying to seem fine. The book makes a strong case that girls with ADHD often learn to mask their difficulties in order to fit social expectations. Masking can include over-preparing, copying others, staying quiet, working excessively hard, or using perfectionism to hide disorganization and forgetfulness. On the surface, these strategies may make a girl look successful, but the book shows that they often come at a cost of exhaustion, anxiety, and a fragile sense of self. This theme is especially important because masking can delay diagnosis even in environments where support is available. Teachers, parents, and clinicians may see a compliant or high-achieving child and assume there is no serious issue. The book also links masking to social difficulties. Since girls may be desperate to maintain acceptance, while privately struggling to understand peer dynamics or keep up with conversation, the result is that many girls internalize the idea that their problems are personal failings rather than signs of a neurodevelopmental condition. By analyzing masking as a coping mechanism rather than a sign of wellness, the book explains why apparent competence can conceal significant impairment. Lastly, practical guidance for diagnosis, support, and advocacy across school and home settings. The book is not only descriptive, it is designed to change how adults identify and support girls with ADHD. Its practical value lies in helping parents, teachers, and clinicians look beyond disruptive behavior and assess the broader picture of attention, organization, emotional regulation, peer relationships, and self-esteem. The authors encourage more careful observation of patterns that may be dismissed individually but become meaningful when seen together. They also imply that intervention should not focus only on reducing hyperactivity or improving homework completion. Girls often need support that addresses social strain, self-advocacy, executive functioning, and emotional resilience. This makes the book useful in both educational and clinical contexts because it pushes readers toward a more comprehensive model of care. A major strength is that it offers a language for explaining a child's struggles without blaming her character or effort. In that sense, the book functions as both a diagnostic corrective and a guide to more humane support, which is why it has remained influential among readers seeking a deeper, more gender-aware understanding of ADHD. In conclusion, this book is best suited to parents of daughters who seem bright but inconsistent, educators who want to recognize ADHD beyond obvious hyperactivity, clinicians working with girls and adolescent women, and adult readers who suspect their own childhood struggles were never properly understood. Its main benefit is diagnostic clarity. It helps readers interpret inattention, masking, emotional volatility, and social strain as interconnected features of ADHD rather than isolated character flaws. It also offers intellectual value by showing how gender expectations, development, and coping strategies shape symptom visibility over time. Compared with broader ADHD books, it stands out because it does not simply add girls as an afterthought to a male-centered model. Instead, it centers the female presentation of ADHD and explains why standard assumptions so often fail. That makes it especially useful for readers who want a more accurate framework for early identification and more targeted support. As a revised and expanded guide, it remains notable for combining clinical insight with a practical, compassionate perspective that is still highly relevant in discussions of ADHD in girls and women. If you would like to support Kathleen Nadeau, PhD, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.